The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
Good morning, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Happy Thursday, everybody. It is Thursday, May 26, 2022. This is the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket online at WTKA.com. Coming up in just a little bit, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll start with that. We're going to get to the recruiting roundup as usual. It's a Thursday, which means the top dog of the week in the 8 o'clock hour, the MGovBlog roundtable in the 9 o'clock hour. There's a lot to get to here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTK The Ticket, as it has now been 908 days since the last time Ohio State beat Michigan on the football field. 100 days. But not only has it been 908 days since the last time Ohio State beat Michigan on the football field, today is the day. The countdown to the Michigan football season here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket begins. For the teachers, it's kind of like the countdown from the end of the school year to the beginning of the next one, I guess. But the countdown of the Michigan football season begins today. We used to start with the number 99 because we go through the roster and talk about current players and former players based on the numbers. But that had shortchanged the guys who played before there were numbers, right? And so a few years ago, we started with the 100 days out countdown, or for the countdown. And so that is today. We are starting with 100 days. It was a tip of the hat back then to JJ Lincoln Park, who was the biggest Willie Heston fan that I have ever met. Probably any of you, if you ever met him, probably the biggest Willie Heston fan you've ever met. So in honor of JJ Lincoln Park, let's get started, not in memory of JJ and his love of the old guys. Let's get started with the countdown to the 2022 Michigan football season. It is now 100 days until September 3rd, where the 2022 Michigan football team hosts Colorado State at Michigan Stadium. 100 days. And so I have a few guys for you in the unnumbered category. Starting with Irving Pond, who was born May 1st, 1857. Irving Pond was born right here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. His house was located where the Michigan Union now sits, and we'll get to more on the Michigan Union later on in the countdown. Irving Pond was an engineering student at Michigan from 1875 to 1879. He played football in Michigan, or for Michigan, in 1879, the first year of Michigan football. Irving Pond scored the first touchdown in Michigan football history, in University of Michigan history. He graduated in 1879 with a degree in civil engineering. He became an architect and moved to Chicago. And this is where the story will eventually take a full circle home for Irving Pond. He designed numerous buildings for Ann Arbor, Detroit. He renovated the Detroit Opera House in 1887. He and his brother Allen's most famous building was Jane Addams Hull House, and he designed the Michigan Union. So, as I said, the house where he lived was where the Michigan Union now sits, and he became the architect, and he designed the Michigan Union on the site of his former house. He also designed other buildings and unions around the Big Ten, including at Purdue, at Michigan State in particular. He was a bachelor until he was 72 years old. Irving Pond was so close to his brother, according to stories, that he didn't marry until his brother Alan Pond passed away. So Irving Pond got married in 1929, and then 10 years later, he passed away September 29th, 1939. He asked to be cremated and have his remains sent back here to the University of Michigan. 100 days celebrating the unnumbered guys, including Irving Pond. We are 100 days away into the start of the Michigan football season. Also, how about another unnumbered guy in the annals of Michigan football history, Horace Prettyman. Horace Prettyman was born November 8th, 1857, so just a little bit younger than Irving Pond. Horace Prettyman was here from 1882 to 1889. He was a rusher, forward, center, and a tackle for Michigan, arriving in 1882 out of Ann Arbor High School. He arrived here, as I said, in 1882 at the age of 24 years old. He participated in football. He participated in track and field with the hammer throw. He was a boxer and a wrestler at Michigan as well. He scored the first points of Michigan's 1886 season. He was the fourth and fifth seasons of Michigan football. There were no games, however, in 1882, which would have been the third season. Captain in 1884, 1885, and in 1886, Horace Prettyman leading the squad. No longer a student. But he still played for Michigan. The rules were a lot different, a lot looser back in the late 1800s, needless to say. Not that some of the rules aren't loose now, but not in this term, right? He was a graduate. He played after he graduated from Michigan. Later, along with his wife, Jenny, he operated a couple of boarding houses in Ann Arbor. He was also a member of Ann Arbor City Council from 1891 to 1895. He was president of Ann Arbor Municipal League from 1892 to 1894. He served as Washtenaw County's supervisor starting in 1901. He later became principal owner and president of Ann Arbor Press, president of White Swan Laundry, and the Wolverine Power Company. And he served as Ann Arbor's postmaster for a short time starting in 1906. Horace Prettyman passed away March 27, 1945, at the age of 87 years old. We are, again, 100 days away, and we are celebrating the unnumbered guys, the guys that played football at Michigan, before there were numbers. So we have talked about Irving Pond. We've talked about Horace Prettyman as we have the first day of the countdown to the Michigan football season here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket online at WTKA.com. I have four more guys for you here this morning. The next one is a guy that we talked about last fall during the Michigan football season when Northwestern came to town. And this is another Ann Arbor native. And the third straight Ann Arbor native. So Irving Pond was from Ann Arbor. Horace Prettyman was from Ann Arbor. And so was George Jewett. Born April 1870, George Jewett grew up in Ann Arbor. He was class valedictorian for Ann Arbor High School in 1889. He was also captain of the debate football and baseball teams. He won the AAU, the Amateur Athletic Union 100-yard dash, as a senior in high school. He then attended Michigan from 1890 to 1893. He was the first African-American football player in school history. In 1892, he was the team's leading rusher, scorer, and kicker. In a famous game versus Oberlin in 1892, he outplayed a guy by the name of John Heisman. After some controversy late in the game, both schools claimed the game as a victory. So Oberlin will always try to claim that 1892 victory over Michigan in the annals of their football history. He went to med school, George Jewett did. He went to med school after football and his undergraduate career. He started at Michigan, then he graduated from Northwestern. He became the first football player at Northwestern as well. So he was the first African-American football player at a school that created the Big Ten, obviously, right? He was the first football player, the first African-American player at both of them, both at Michigan and at Northwestern. He played at Michigan here in 1890, 1892, and then at Northwestern after that. Practiced medicine first in Chicago and then back here in his hometown of Ann Arbor. Tragically, he passed away suddenly at the age of 38 on August 12, 1908, and he is buried here in Ann Arbor at Forest Hill Cemetery. And we now, when we play Northwestern starting last year, it's the George Jewett Trophy, and it's a really, really cool trophy. There was an event with the athletic department and some members of the Northwestern athletic department there as well. I also had a press conference with it earlier that day, actually, last fall. And George is the standing on top of the tree. He's on the top of the trophy. It's a really big, heavy trophy. It's really cool looking. And George rotates to either the Northwestern logo or the Michigan logo, depending upon who has won the game and I guess who has the trophy, because it sounds like it's a traveling trophy like so many others in college football. But a really cool trophy that Michigan won this past season and had a chance to stand up, get up close and personal with it momentarily. Just check it out. It is a very cool trophy honoring a legendary Michigan and Northwestern, someone that is very important in the history of both of their football programs. And we celebrate him now as we are 100 days away. Another guy that played before there were numbers, George Jewett, former Michigan football player. We are also celebrating William Cunningham, who was born July 13th, 1872. And here's the write-up on William Cunningham that I had found. As the center of Michigan's line, he was a critical component of Michigan's 12-11 victory over Chicago in 1898, the one that secured the Western Conference championship and inspired Louis Elbow to write the victors. Cunningham holds the distinction of being the first player in Michigan history to be named an All-America. He was also the first quote-unquote Western player to earn All-America honors, breaking down the traditional barrier that started that stated that All-Americas could only come from Harvard, Princeton, Yale, and a select few other Eastern schools. And that was one of the many things that Michigan was able to accomplish in the early part of football, as they eventually carry football west, right? Michigan spreads it to South Bend, and Michigan champions of the West and being the first dominant team and power football team, you know, out of the traditional Ivy League area. And so Harvard, Princeton, Yale, and a few others like Penn, they dominated the All-America's teams for the first many years. William Cunningham obviously said he broke through on that one, being the first Western player to earn All-America honors And, of course, representing Michigan. So we celebrate William Cunningham here as well as we celebrate the players without numbers as we're 100 days away until the start of the Michigan football season. And the next guy is the reason that this whole thing started when there were 100 days instead of 99 days. And this is in the memory of JJ from Lincoln Park. William Martin Willie Heston, born September 9th, 1878, played football for San Jose Normal School, which is now San Jose State, from 1898 to 1900. His last year at San Jose Normal, he played for a head coach by the name of Fielding H. Yost. And so then Yost called him up, or wrote to him, or didn't call him up, but he wrote to him, sent him a telegram, however it worked, or maybe he was out there when he invited him and said, come join me in Ann Arbor. And that's exactly what Willie Heston did. And he played at Michigan from 1901 to 1904. Heston left here, and he coached briefly, coaching at Drake in 1905, at North Carolina A&M, which is now NC State, in 1906. Not a whole lot else that I have found in some of my research on Willie Heston, but he passed away September 9th, 1963, one of the greatest players in Michigan football history, one of the great early players, maybe the great early player in Michigan football history, leading to that great early run of the Fielding Yost era. We are celebrating the great Willie Heston today here on the Countdown on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTK, the Ticket, online at WTK.com. And one more for you, we are celebrating Adolf Germany Schultz, born April 19th, 1883. Adolf Germany Schultz was the son of German immigrants, and he is the last of the unnumbered guys that we are celebrating here this morning on the Countdown of the Michigan football season. Germany Schultz was 6'2", between 200 and 225 pounds, played center. He came to Michigan. He was from Fort Wayne, Indiana. He played for Michigan from 1904 to 1908. Considered, quote unquote, a ringer for Fielding Yost by many around the country. And he wasn't the only one, as a lot of schools seem to have ringers around that time. He played as a true freshman in 1904. Started all 10 games in Michigan's 10-0 season. Contracted and recovered from malaria in the spring and summer before the 1905 season. He missed 1906. He dropped out of school for financial reasons, but then he returned, and in 1907, he was an All-American. In 1908, he was captain his fourth season of playing. The Western Conference had a three-year playing rule that was enacted after Schultz started playing at Michigan. So this is right around the time that eligibility rules started to really get not really hammered in, but they started to at that point in time to really look into, they were finalizing some of those early eligibility rules, but it didn't apply to Schultz, who was able to play in 1908. But the reason why he was able to play is because Michigan dropped out of the Western Conference instead of losing Schultz. That was one of the reasons that Michigan left the conference. And we've had many tales being told, Greg Dooley and others telling the tale of why Michigan left the Western Conference. Eventually, of course, they would return. Germany Schultz was credited, he was credited with inventing the spiral snap and standing behind the defensive line, the roving center. He's credited as football's first linebacker. And so think about that. The spiral snap, first linebacker, very important player in the history of Michigan football. And in addition to that, he was one of the main reasons why they left the Western Conference for that run. In 1909 and 1910, Schultz played briefly in the infant Tri-State Professional Football League operating in Ohio, Illinois, and Pennsylvania. He played for the Dayton Oakwoods team. He then became an assistant coach at Wisconsin, then Michigan, then Kansas State, and Tulane between 1911 and 1920. An assistant AD at Kansas State from 1916 to 1919 during his time there at Kansas State. And he was the AD while he was a coach at Tulane, so during from 1920 to 1921. He was the head coach for the Detroit Titans in 1923. He worked in the insurance business as well in Michigan from 1924 until he passed away. In 1951, Adolf Schultz was selected as the greatest center in football history in a poll conducted by the National Football Foundation and became one of the initial inductees into the College Football Hall of Fame. And I think he would be one of the guys that, when you talk about what's really important in the history, I saw this question posted on Twitter not that long ago, the most important inventions in sports history, like by sport, what's the most important? Like the face mask in hockey might be the most important invention there, right? Things like that. Or the quote unquote modern football, which made it easier to throw, or maybe the face mask for football, something like that. But you go through and you think about all the important inventions and things that happened that we kind of just take for granted now. The spiral snap, the linebacker, right? There's a reason why he's considered, and obviously he was a really good football player as well. Greatest center, Hall of Fame inductee, one of the initial College Football Hall of Fame inductees, probably lost when it comes to the conversations of the important players in Michigan football history. We know eras don't translate, right? You don't play center in 1908 and have be like, oh yeah, he could play center now. That's not the conversation, but how important he was to the, just in general, to football as a whole. Adolph Germany Schultz, as important as they come in the history of Michigan football, and we celebrate him this morning. We are 100 days away until the start of the Michigan football season. This morning, celebrating Adolph Germany Schultz, Willie Hessen, William Cunningham, George Jewett, Horace Prettyman, Irving Pond. We are 100 days away until the start of the 2022 Michigan football season, and man, that felt good. I know we've got a really fun summer to enjoy. There's a lot of great things happening over the course of the summer. We're going to enjoy them. But we're also going to enjoy the countdown to the 2022 Michigan football season. The Michigan Insider rolls along on the other side of the break here on Sports Talk 1050. WTK, the ticket.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.